I'm talking about The Last Supper. I'm going to put onto the screen the Bible verses so you can read them. I've taken the message from Luke 22, so I'm going to read through that and I'll put it up on screen so that you can follow it, because I'm going to be actually reading from verse 7 through to verse 38, as you can see, which is quite a bit for you guys just to sit and listen to. So I thought if I can get it up on the screen, if you haven't got your Bible app handy, you can follow it on the screen here. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. They said to him, where would you have us prepare it? He said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, the teacher says of you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. He said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Now that's a fairly long passage, isn't it? And but I won't apologise for that, because actually all of it is important. There's an awful lot that could be said about it, and many, many sermons could be preached on it. But I just want to pick up on really the central theme, but also want us to understand about the context of that. That's why I felt it was important to read the whole event, as it were. And so obviously the center of this is something that we are it's very important to us, which is the taking of bread and wine, communion, whatever you want to call it. And but I felt it was important to understand the context into which Jesus was bringing this. So it's the evening before Jesus is arrested, tried, and crucified. And he wanted to spend that last evening with his disciples, his 12 people that he's put the last 3 years of effort into intensively training and preparing, who will carry on and lead others who will carry on the work that Jesus has been doing. And actually, he is looking for them to be those that sort of kickstart the transformation of the world, really. And so this is where we are. And he wanted to celebrate the Passover meal with them. And it's also very obviously significant that it is the Passover that he was wanting to celebrate. And so when we look at this, we look at it and we say, well, who are these 12 men that he's been training? And when we look at what's happening, we've got some interesting things going on with the screen here, but we'll carry on. So he's been intensively training them for these 3 years. Peter, regularly most enthusiastic of his followers, always one to sort of get straight in there and follow Jesus and go for what Jesus is talking about. Peter, Jesus is actually saying, you're going to be denying me really, really soon. And then we also have the fact that we have Judas there as well, that Jesus says, one of you amongst me is going to betray me. And during the evening, this argument breaks out about who is the greatest. So this is Jesus's last evening with them. And he's put this 3 years of effort into them, and he's wanting to celebrate the Passover meal, which was like one of the most important annual celebrations in the Jewish calendar. And this is what's going on. It's all kicking off, as it were. We've got some going to be denying, someone's going to be betraying, and there's this big argument about who's going to be the greatest. And so into this, Jesus, he wants to celebrate this Passover meal. And it's where the Jews remembered how God had saved them from when they were slaves in Egypt. And he saved them through a series of plagues. And then that culminated in the death of the firstborn. So the firstborn child of all the households. But it wasn't to affect the Jews, because they were to kill a lamb and to take the blood and to put it around the doorpost. And when the angel saw that, he would pass by the house. And so this is the Passover that Jesus is remembering that they're celebrating. It's important to remember, actually, that Jesus, this was his last meal. And so it would have been special, and he would have been thinking about how he wants to do that. And so that's why he and his last meal wants to institute this what we call communion. And it's all about sort of instructing his disciples to remember him and to remember all that he's done. But we'll go on to say some more about this in a moment. What Jesus is talking about is that actually he is going to become that lamb that dies so that they are saved. And so just as God had given instructions to Moses as to the lamb being killed in order that the blood could, through the blood of that lamb, they should be covered and that they should not die, and so, or they should, their firstborn wouldn't die. But just like that, Jesus became that blood. Jesus's blood was shed for us so that we could know life. And this is what he was telling his disciples, that when they eat the bread, when they drink the wine, they remember what Jesus has done for them, the fact that he has died for them. And when Jesus instituted this, we are saved from God's judgment. And who is it for? Who is this for? Well, Jesus was talking to his disciples at that point. So this was instituted was for those who are following Jesus, those who have made Jesus their Lord. And it's also an opportunity and important, actually, that we it's a chance for us to just come again fresh, clean before Jesus. And so even as you're going through this thing as Jesus instituted it about taking the bread, remembering his body that was broken for us, taking the wine, remembering his blood that was shed for us, it's important to remember that actually that is to cleanse us from our sin. So it's an opportunity as God brings to mind anything that actually we need to confess before him. This is also an opportunity to do that. And it's also, it's not to be taken lightly. I believe in the email that Julian sent out this week, that there was a passage from Corinthians there that talks about how some in the Corinthian church were abusing the whole sort of bread and wine and eating together and celebrating Jesus together. And so it's important that we do it in the right way and that we are putting Jesus very much at the focus of this and honouring one another and blessing one another as we come to do this together. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are, but the important thing is that you have given your life to Jesus and that you have accepted him as your Lord and Saviour. And so what we're actually going to do now is I'm going to lead you through taking the bread and wine. But what I would like to do before that is that there may be some on this who would say, actually, I'm not sure that I've ever accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. And so before we take the bread and the wine, I just want to all of us, actually, whether for the first time or whether for the 500th time, let us just come before God and just give ourselves afresh to him. Let's say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, and let's move on and want him to see him mightily at work in our lives. And so just before we do that, sort of wherever you are, I just want to pray, and I want you to follow through with me and sort of pray along or say amen or however you feel able to sort of join in. And I just want to pray this. So I'll pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave up your life. You suffered a cruel death as a payment for my sin. You'd never sinned. You were the spotless lamb, but you took my sin on yourself. I thank you that just as you rose again, I can now live, raised again to live for your glory, to follow you as my Lord and Saviour. So now let's do what Jesus instructed his disciples to do. Let's take some bread. I have some with me here. Let's take some bread. Let's just do this as Jesus said, in remembrance of him. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll just take some of the wine as well. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much. We do this in remembrance of you. Do this remembering that you took our sin upon yourself. Thank you, Jesus, that through you we have life, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that it isn't actually just about remembering, but it's also about looking forwards. And that's what I wanted to come on to now, actually, that as we take the bread and wine, yes, it is remembering that Jesus has set us free from our sin. It is remembering that he's paid the price for us. But actually, it's also looking forward to what he will do. In verses 16 and 18, Jesus refers to what is to come. And he says he will not drink it again until the kingdom of God comes. And so this celebration is not just about remembering our salvation, but it's also looking forward, giving us faith for the mission ahead. So Jesus has called us to take his message to the world. And And so we can look forward to a time when people will join from every tribe and tongue and nation, because that's what it says about Jesus will come back when the gospel has reached every tribe and tongue and nation. And that's what I believe Jesus is referring to here in verses 16 and 18, that he will come and he will enjoy this again when some from every tribe and tongue and nation. And so as he's doing that, it's actually not just looking back, but it's looking forward as well. So in talking of this, he's reminding his followers to be encouraged that actually he is empowering them through his life-changing sacrifice. He is empowering them on what we call the Great Commission, to go into all the world, to make disciples of all nations and teach them about what we've been taught by Jesus. And so he's confidently declaring this. As I said, the context of this meal, what was going on during this meal, that was such an important thing for Jesus. You could see there was the weaknesses of the disciples coming out. There was the fears of the disciples coming out. There was their failures as well. And yet Jesus is saying, you're going to be part of the work of bringing about the kingdom of God to the world. And so even at this point of, for some of them, some of their weaknesses, some of their failures, and so their desire to be considered great. But Jesus is saying, no, just look at me, look at the way I am giving myself. I am about to sacrifice myself for you so that you can be saved. And so you can take this message of salvation to the nations as well. And so why do we? So we've been talking about why the disciples, Jesus instituted it with them. But what about us? Why do we have the bread and wine? Well, same things really, is that we have to remember that we were sinners in need of a savior. And so also that reminds us that we need to be careful not to judge others, because actually we were sinners in need of a savior. So we don't judge others, but we bring the message of hope. We bring the message of life to others. And so it reminds us that he gave his life for us. And our offense of sin is offensive to God. And in his great love, he showed us in sacrificing his firstborn to pay the price for our sin. So through his sacrifice, we are made clean. And then also, we have the joy of taking the message of hope to others, despite our own fears and our own failings. That's why we remember Jesus at this time. That's why Jesus did this in the context of a meal. Now, we often do the bread and wine during a service or after a service, but I do believe that the context here is in a meal together. And I believe it's completely right that we do it often on Sunday mornings and in other cases when we meet together, but also to remember that you can do that as you have a meal together, which, of course, you can't really do at the moment, but in the months to come, hopefully very soon, we will be able to. So it's good as we get together, as we have food together, let's remember Jesus. Let's remember Jesus. Let's remember the sacrifice that he made up for us. So over the next few weeks, we're in Jesus's, if we go back to the Last Supper, over the next few weeks of what happened there, this motley bunch that were denying him, that were arguing about who is the greatest, they are actually going to be transformed over these next few weeks into world changers. The disciples that we see at the Last Supper are very different from those that we see at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And so we're going to follow them through in their life transforming journey of these next few weeks. And it's exciting. It will be exciting to see and have that open to us up to us as people preach their way through this.